Thank you very much.
This had been a special interview, a presentation of KSVR FM Community Radio for Skagit Valley in Northwest Washington State.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to an interview with Elizabeth Kucinich. Production assistance came from Jay Charles at KSVR. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Rip Robbins at KSVR in Mount Vernon. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week for another Sprouts program.
And welcome to Battle of Spears Broadsides, coming up next on Free Radio, the February 22nd, 2007 show, with special guests Swami and his master. Stay tuned. That was one more bell to answer, the Fifth Dimension song by Laura Nero. You're tuned to Free Radio, back on the air again after it unexpectedly, we went off the air during my last show on Sunday around 12:10, and here we are back again. I'm glad we're back. I'm hoping you're listening. And if you're listening, hoping you're ready to make a phone call, if you got something you think is worth saying, the incoming line here is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. You can also reach me off air if you have some secret matters to discuss at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the long-lived and occasionally effectual but usually gadflyish civil rights group that includes both housed and homeless people trying to restore civil rights in Santa Cruz. And what a job it is on the streets for the last couple weeks. We've had a major police crackdown, compliments of the city council's, hallway monitoring squad. We used to think that was Ed Porter, who was a teacher, and you would have thought he's more accustomed and inclined to that sort of thing. But no, it's Cynthia Matthews, Lynn Robinson, and Vice Mayor Ryan. I own a bookstore, but and I claim to be a civil libertarian, but I'm afraid not this trip around on the city council. Coonerty, I actually invited all three of these city council members to come on the air and face the Norse, but they so far declined to do so or ignored my offer. I've also filed Public Records Act requests to determine just who they met with, what documents they produced, who they communicated with, and how they put together the latest crackdown, which is described in some detail in the Santa Cruz Sentinel of about a week ago. It involves such things as more police downtown, coordination with the merchants, drawing in state parole and probation experts to jack up folks on the street to see if they are the right kind of person to have downtown and so forth. And indeed, that's one of the reasons that in the studio with us, we have two street people, performers. I don't know if they're homeless or housed or sometimes this and sometimes that. But it's Valerie Promise, who plays, has been a part of SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, or Street Performers Against Foolish Enforcement, as I like to think of them. And also we have that man about spirituality, the street Swami, also known as Swami, and perhaps known as something else as well. So, Baba, if you will, why don't you two just, make your five-second statements before we do the hook. Actually, you can take a few moments to say anything you want.
Okay. And Valerie Promise.
Get close to the mic, though, about an inch away.
Can you hear me now?
We can always hear you, but sometimes it's more clear if you're closer.
I'm Valerie Promise. I've been singing on the street in Santa Cruz for about 3 years, and just about the time I started singing, I hooked up with SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom of Expression, and all that we have an event on Wednesday nights is more like a network of street performers, more like a movement. And this is my friend Bhaktamrita Swami, also known as Baba, and he's been a friend to many on Pacific Avenue and offers one-stop shopping for all your spiritual needs on his Dharma blanket.
I've had many a debate with the infamous Swami. Welcome to the show, Swami, and watch yourself. I've got my eye on you.
Thank you.
Yes, you can actually use either mic that you want. We have mics galore here. And for all of you out there, again, the number to call, if you have an inkling to do so, or a tinkling to do so, or if you want whatever you want to do, it's 427-3772 is the phone number to call in. Now, I just got back from the Homelessness Marathon, which unfortunately Free Radio Santa Cruz was not able to cover, though it made every effort to do so and usually does every year. This is the 10th annual Homelessness Marathon. This time it was being broadcast from Fresno, California, again by the redoubtable Nobody, as he calls himself, also known as Jeremy Alderson from New York City, who has almost single-handedly, well, he's got a lot of help, but he's the main initiating force who put this together every year. He was doing it from Fresno, as you'll find out when I play more tapes on Sunday, and you can check this out on Sunday morning if you come back to the show and check us out again. He was doing this because Fresno is a place where there's been an unusually blatant destruction of homeless property. They don't even need a sleeping van. They sort of have a homeless debris trash policy. They sort of pick you up and throw you away, or at least all your property. And so Rhodes, Mike Rhodes, who's a Community Alliance activist and has got many stories about this if you want to check it out on IndieBay.org, an interesting website, IndieBay.org/Central Valley. Our local one is /Santa Cruz, but /Central Valley will give you a lot of his stories, a lot of photos. He went around giving disposable cameras to the homeless. They took photos of the police in action. Attorneys came in from out of the area, wonder of wonders, and there was a federal finding in federal court that this was illegal policy and had to be stopped. You could not simply destroy homeless property as, for example, Ranger Wallace is reportedly doing here in Santa Cruz. Even if you put a little note up that says, I'll be destroying your property in 3 days, love, John, that's not good enough, because if you do that, if you want to confiscate homeless property, you must store it. And you may think it's trash, but others have different sense of they place a different valuation on family photos, sleeping bags, survival gear. It means something a little different to them in many cases than trash. So that was a big issue in Fresno. The federal judge found in favor of the homeless and put a preliminary injunction in place, and the trial is coming up soon. The city is scrambling to do something because it's in big trouble. They claimed they didn't do it. Then they claimed that they did it, but all the homeless possessions were trash. Now they're looking for other excuses. We actually had the mayor came on the homelessness marathon, and it's going to be archived in case anybody wants to hear it. So it's an interesting kind of, 14 hours long, and you can pick an hour you'd like. I did 2 hours, 10 to 11 hour on homeless encampments. Actually, Becky Johnson and I did 2 hours. She and I were the two. She provided the transportation and a lot of the support. And then up there, we also did an hour at midnight, which we just had a kind of an open call-in line. And I'm actually going to play some of that and some other stuff on Sunday. But really, our first priority is Santa Cruz, because Santa Cruz is where we live. And one of the reasons I've invited the notorious Valerie and her pet Swami into the studio is for a few laughs, of course. But actually, he's a very
he's Swami. He's well-trained, isn't he?
He's a well-trained Swami, yes.
Housebroken.
He said, I hope you stay housebroken.
House
I see. Well, that's, the homeless would perhaps have some appreciation for that. Swami, of course, has his stand of business, if you will, or monkey business, outside the coffee roasting company, or near it on Pacific Avenue. And Valerie plays every Wednesday night at the Society for Artistic Freedom and Expressions, 3 year long. They're still doing it out there. Wednesday night, Take Back the Space, Spread Joy and Understanding, and play the same goddamn songs every week. Valerie, get a new songbook. Not true?
You'll have to hear this amazing song from Swami.
Yeah, but I mean,
there is something new.
Excellent. We got new songs. That's always a plus. But the real issue for me is the serious problem of police misconduct, merchant police collusion. And then, of course, the city council process, even if it were done in public, it would have made me sick to my stomach. But it was done behind closed doors, this whole policy of cracking down, using the police to crack down on homeless people for essentially innocent behavior. A bike the wrong way, sitting within 14 feet of a building, having panhandling with a group of two. Sitting on a curb, numerous other, I played a number of these in the last couple of weeks, but it's just generally massive police presence on the street. And in one case, if you go to the, Santa Cruz Indie Media or indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, you'll find a story put up there by Tenderfoot Tim, who may be coming into the studio tonight. I'm not sure. In fact, I think I hear a knock at the door. Ask who it is first, though. We may have the FCC on us. Let in Tenderfoot Tim, but we are a very exclusive society here. He's made it past our three guards into the well-guarded Free Radio Santa Cruz studios, hidden in Santa Cruz somewhere to protect us all. Tenderfoot Tim, actually, maybe he can tell us himself what kind of... I ran into your associate Jeremy on the streets, the one who had... Who took Officer Warren? What's his name? Warren Beatty. Warren
Bradley, I believe it is.
No, it's not Bradley. It's not Bradley either.
You'd have to look on the Indie Bay.
It's Bailey. I'll go onto the website and find out exactly who this clown is. He apparently was stalking the guy in the most bizarre way. Why don't you describe what you saw and also what happened there?
Yeah, okay. Well, I was driving down on, I believe it was the 18th. You can double-check when you get on your story. But, excuse me, I just walked in the studio. I'm a little out of breath. And I saw Jeremy standing there with a policeman about 4 feet behind him, just almost like, you know, almost like escorting him around. And he would walk, you know, a couple feet, and the policeman would walk a couple feet and just stay right behind him. So I parked, and about 20 minutes later, I caught up with him, and there was a bench right there, so I sat down. And I asked Jeremy, you know, what was going on, and he said that this officer had been following him for 20 minutes.
Sergeant Warren Berry, actually.
Yeah, Sergeant Warren Berry.
I recognize Sergeant Berry. I'm not sure why he was trying to bury his reputation.
I'm not sure why he's trying to bury his reputation in this way, but...
Yeah, he didn't. He looked a little uncomfortable in what he was doing, but he was doing it nonetheless. And so I asked Officer Warren, what is it?
Sergeant Warren Berry.
Sarge Warren Berry.
Sergeant Berry.
Berry, who I had not run into.
Berry Berry, or
yes.
Berry Berry, as the case may be.
Who I had not run into before, or at least spoken to before, what he had done wrong. And I got a two-word answer, or three-word, he's standing here. And I said, well, that's not against the law.
Now, where was he standing exactly?
Right in front of the theater.
Which theater?
The one right across the street from Logos. It's basically directly
The Del Mar.
The Del Mar, yeah.
Now, was he blocking theater goers?
No, he was in complete compliance, exactly, you know, 14 feet back there. The theater was closed. It was 10:30 a.m. Stores were just opening. And they were doing sort of a massive sweep. They had four or five police on the street. And so he said, watch this. And he walked down the street about 20 yards, and the officer followed him. And he walked back, and he followed him back, and he did this a couple times, and we sort of laughed.
Did he do some dancing and kick up their feet?
No, but it was still sort of, in a way, funny if it hadn't been so horrible in another way. And so I asked the officer how long he was going to do this, and he said he was going to continue following him, you know. And
did you get this on tape, perhaps?
I didn't get the police part on tape because I was running out of batteries, unfortunately. I only got the little interview with a picture of him and a little interview with Jeremy. But so then I said, well, Jeremy, let's take a walk. And we started walking in circles, basically, in that one block area, just crossing the street in legal spots and just sort of jumping around like rabbits. And he followed us around for about...
You didn't drop any rabbit food on the sidewalk.
No, I was careful not to. Yes, that would have been another criminal
offense. Fluffy the Bunny got, almost got jailed for that one.
Yes.
We're still waiting to see if a lawsuit comes out of one of those cases with Shane Maxfield, I believe, the AIDS man who is facing tickets for that kind of stuff, even before the more intense crackdown period. But go ahead, Jeremy, and you having an interesting sort of follow-the-leader thing with Sergeant Berry.
And we went to my car to get the downtown ordinances that you had given me, and I had made some copies. I'd been handing them out, and he was pretty well-versed, but he wanted a copy, so we walked over there, too, and walked back. And by that time, the officer was talking to the downtown host and looked like he had given up on Jeremy. And we walked around a little bit, and when we split ways, and I told him I'd posted on Indy Bay.
Which you did.
Which I did. And so the next day, I ran into Jeremy again, and he said, you'll never believe what happened. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, the officer came back as soon as I went back, you know, and I started doing the same thing for like an hour longer. And finally, a lady in an SUV pulled over that noticed what was going on and talked to the officer, and the officer basically gave her the same, you know, two-word answers that he gave me. And she didn't like what she saw, and she went and bought three orange juices, one for Jeremy, one for her, and one for the officer, which I thought was sort of cool tactic, you know. It was smarter than what I did. And the officer refused the orange juice, and she had tried to have a conversation with him. And finally she said, look, if you don't stop stalking him, I'm going to call the police and make a citizen's arrest on you right now. And he left. He walked away.
Wasn't that kind of a rude thing for her to say to an officer of the law?
Absolutely not. That was the most blatant thing I've seen on the mall. I mean, I've seen worse things, but that was the most blatant, like, direct homeless, you know.
Well, it again reminds me of the case which I will never tire of mentioning, when Lieutenant Clark, then Sergeant Clark, in the middle of the night took homeless blankets in very cold weather, because people were violating the city's blanket ban, which makes a criminal have a blanket and be wrapped up with one after 11 o'clock outside or on any public property. And he was asked, why don't you just take a picture? I mean, if you're going to be stupid, you know, not stupid enough, but mean enough and, you know, cruel enough and perhaps unwise enough, given the constitutional situation, to do this, although it was back in 96 that he did. Why don't you just take a picture? And why are you taking the actual blankets? And he said, because I can.
Yeah, that was the exact same type of response that I got from this officer. And I watched a previous post-arrest, I should say. The guy was already in the car by the bus station that's also on the net that you've already seen, Robert, that Bandito Bradley had already caught the first part of, and I guess I must have walked up right after he left. Because I noticed one of the officers, when I started filming, said, if they're going to film us, we're going to film them. And
he took dueling cameras.
Yes, and there's a little video of us dueling cameraing each other.
But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you are paying for your own film, but the taxpayer is paying for their film. I guess that, you know, we should be able to get a copy of their video. Maybe.
Well, it is digital. So but I noticed that he did make a call in before, so I assume that they take those pictures and, you know, send them to the station via their cell phone. Because they're using their cell phones to do it. This was sort of strange because the kid that they took in, I don't know why, but I noticed he was out the next day. Went to go talk to him. He was gone.
And this was, again, where
this was right next to the Mexican restaurant beside the bus stop where that parking lot is. And there's a bench in front there. It's right alongside the bus station.
Oh, right near the metro.
It's a little small parking lot.
Right. Got to watch that wandering mic.
Excuse me, I'm in a strange position here. A lack of chairs. In this instance, I sat down and started filming, and he started filming me. And the kid in the back was, you know, screaming, I didn't do anything, I didn't do anything.
Is this Sergeant Barry again?
No, I didn't recognize these two officers, and I believe Bradley got all that information ahead of me. But, you know, they already had whatever he had on him. If he had a backpack, I never saw it. Thank you. We're playing musical chairs. But Bradley may have, but I didn't see any backpack. All I saw was a bike, and so they ran it to see if it was stolen, and it wasn't. The thing that really I didn't like was the first thing they did when they ran it wasn't stolen was roll down the window and said, how the hell can you afford a bike if you don't have a job? And which I thought that was just so nice of them. Now this bike was, I'm not trying to be cruel, but it was like a $10 bike. You know, I've got three of them in my backyard that have been thrown away that I donate to the bike church. Uh-huh. And there are a lot of people down there with bikes, you know, that aren't stolen. Just because they're homeless doesn't mean their bike is stolen.
And can't be too careful.
Yeah.
You know, better that 10 innocent people should go to jail than one guilty bike thief go
yes,
free.
Absolutely. But I can't prove anything because, again, I was one witness and I didn't see exactly what happened. But as they were getting prepared to put the bike in, which they actually rubbed on the gel and put the gloves on just to put the bike in the back after they've already got him in the back of the car, I figured they're going to do something else. They went into the back of the SUV, and suddenly one officer who did not put the gloves on, the same officer who filmed me and also filmed Bradley, the other one that took the pictures, had a joint cupped in his hand. It suddenly appeared out of the back of the SUV. Now, he could have took it out of...
He was going to share a joint with you. This is
yeah,
impressive.
Yeah, I got excited. I thought, well, maybe this is the moment I've been waiting for. But now I'm not saying he may have pulled it out of his backpack, but all I saw is his reach his hand, and all of a sudden this perfectly rolled joint was suddenly in his hand, and he again went to the partially rolled down window and said, look, now we've got you for possession. And they then put the bike away and drove away, and that was all I witnessed.
Well, I remember indeed talking with Sergeant Flippo about your questionable marijuana activities, Valerie. You apparently claim to have a medical marijuana card, I've never seen it. Actually, I suspect you probably do.
I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it. Up a likely story.
I'd show it to you, but your viewers wouldn't be able
yes,
to see
could,
it on
I
the
would,
air.
I could examine it. In any case, Sergeant Flippo was asked by you, where can a person legally smoke marijuana? Because you were apparently accosted by the sergeant in a back alley, which was away from the public somewhat, so you weren't... although, when I talked to Sergeant Flippo several days later, he said the smoke may have been wafting in somewhere. I wasn't quite sure. So I wanted to check that out with you. But there seems to be a kind of a, well, the right-wingers might call it a culture war going on here, as well as a war against the homeless, war against the poor, war to maintain authority at all costs, war to keep the city a smoothly running a tourist a monetary vehicle. And again, it's kind of a low-intensity war. I mean, you don't usually see the police officers down there, though more, much more in the last couple of weeks. But it's, you know, it can look very, laid back and relaxed. But I know that you two came to the studio because you, I was talking about you, Valerie, and you, Swami, have a new idea of how to proceed in dealing with improving the downtown scene.
Yeah, we can launch into that, but can I finish up on the ganja question?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Because I was able to call the police department and get some clarification for that. So I got a lot of clarification on the laws that apply to marijuana and how the federal, state, and city laws interrelate, which is not at all clear, and it puts the police in a very awkward position to have to interpret all these laws on a case-by-case basis. But the Sergeant Flippo was not helpful with me at all, and I did get a lot of clarification when I called the station from the sergeant on duty, Sergeant Michael Harms, and I really appreciate all that clarification.
For the benefit of those who want to smoke medical marijuana, where...
Your mic's not up.
Sorry about that. Maybe I could use a little of that marijuana right now.
Yeah.
For the benefit of those who want to smoke medical marijuana, where, in fact, did Sergeant Harms say it was... Was it out of harm's way that you were allowed?
Well,
we have to
be discreet. Medical marijuana patients, we are protected in the city of Santa Cruz as far as our right to smoke it and medicate ourselves, but the other people around us are still protected by the federal laws, which say that it's not okay. So we just have to, it's just incumbent upon us to be discreet, and I think as long as a person is practicing a certain discretion, that it's fine. And
were you being discreet when Sergeant Flippo accosted you?
I was being discreet. He asked me what I had there, and I said, ganja, I have a medical marijuana recommendation. Do you want to see it? And he said, no. And he tried to tell me that this is not an appropriate place. So that was my question. So what is an appropriate place? And he was coming at me as if I ought to know better, that decent people don't take their medicine in public. Diabetics don't give themselves insulin in public. After all, yeah, there are people here. The cleaning
and
crew
I
was,
hope you don't
was going into
well.
the whole cleaning crew of one person was going into Del Williams, and they might smell it.
We're actually already in Del Williams with the door locked.
Yeah, and they smiled and waved at us. So we've had no complaints for them. From the merchants at all. And
well,
we
did Sergeant Harms say that he would inform Sergeant Flippo of the Santa Cruz law that it is legal to smoke marijuana, at least under city and state law?
I don't remember if he took that upon himself, but he did say that a person in an officer in Sergeant Flippo's position would be expected to give that information.
I would encourage you to file a complaint against Sergeant Flippo.
Well,
because,
I did complain.
Oh, good. But I mean a written complaint. Because it's important that the next person be properly informed. And frankly, I am not assured that that's going to happen.
Well, what he suggested was that it's up to the doctors to inform the patients about that. So I'm going to draft eventually on my long list of 10,000 things to do.
No,
10,800.
Wait a minute. No. It's up to the city not to harass people for medically smoking marijuana. And now, if there's some conflict, if this crap about the feds and the federal law is... I've never heard of a city police officer enforcing a federal law in this town, ever.
Well, if somebody's going to complain because I think he was anticipating that the merchants would complain.
All kinds of things, but the fact
I know,
is...
they're subject
to getting those complaints.
You
see, I mean, we had this argument on the street. I don't think you can give the police any leeway on this issue.
No, and the city council needs to make much more clear laws.
Well, the city council's not going to do shit.
I think it's a simple administrative task.
Won't do it. It's the citizenry that's going to do it. If, for example, a police officer begins to harass someone, loud public announcements about the abusive behavior of the police might be appropriate, unless, of course, they're willing to respond reasonably. But as I said, simply, you know, having you run around to two different sergeants, or to one sergeant to deal with the intimidation by another sergeant, gives me no assurance that it isn't going to happen again. And waiting for the city council, which is currently suing to make sure that the marijuana commission for the lowest priority that passed by the voters, 63% of the voters, is not going to go ahead. That's our city council that you're going to be appealing to.
But I find a lack of clarity in the laws, and Bob wants to say something. All right.
There's no lack of clarity in the laws, Mike. Yes. Go ahead.
I would like to actually bring us back to the point of our visit here this evening,
yes,
which actually directly relates to the situation which
we're
you're
right
referring
on the
to.
Point of why you're here. The point
yes,
of, as far as
point
I'm concerned,
is the
police harassment downtown.
Yes.
And
our
so that's where we're
different
at.
Response
indeed
is one of not an aggressive stance, but one of, well, let's see what we can do to fix the problem. And as such, one program that we have come up with, which I'll let Valerie explain herself, is a ribbon or armband program.
Better not be a Nazi armband program.
Oh, not at all, not at all.
Just
it's just an identifier so that people can see and identify someone who
sort
is a helpful person.
People's hosts kind of program?
A people's host program. Val, would you care to explain a little bit more?
Well, it's basically just a people helping people program, because I see so much good on the street. I've been so inspired by my life on Pacific Avenue. I've met so many dozens of people who've been such an amazing inspiration to me that I feel like I would like for everybody else to see all the good things that us Pacific Avenue street people are capable of. So I've asked people to wear these ribbons, which unfortunately I can't show on the air. And we are distributing
it. You can show them
it
to me. You got
yes,
a ribbon
I
with you,
could. I'll take it as a... Maybe Baba
She's
can...
reaching into her backpack.
No, I'm sorry. I forgot the ribbons.
She forgot to bring
You know what?
Ribbons.
You don't have to. They
what
can
kind
be...
of a group is this?
Well, it's a kind of do-it-yourself group, because they're
basically... Actually, there is a ribbon.
Yes, there's a ribbon
there
on
a ribbon
my
here.
Bag. So
yes,
it's just bright tropical colors, and you just
it's
like tie it to
green,
yourself.
Yes.
Or, yeah, so this is
pink no less.
And green. It's like bright tropical
can
colors.
Can be seen at night.
Blue ones with little...
And long distances.
And... And let's see, we got one with whales and stuff like that.
Very
but people,
nice.
You know, this
save the whales.
It's not like they're going to be confused with any other ribbons on the street, so people can basically
and
get their own bright tropically color.
If you wore one
it
of these
means
ribbons.
You are a volunteer, and if anybody needs help, whether it's finding a potty or dealing with somebody they're finding threatening, or you know, they don't know where to go to smoke
guns.
I
need some help finding a potty after 10 o'clock at night. You got some suggestions for me?
Well, the bars are, you know, if you can pass, you know, in corporate drag or whatever, you can usually use the bars. There's, there's Trader Joe's has one up until
10 o'clock.
10 and,
but I'm talking about after 10 o'clock.
Up until 11 o'clock, the...
Lulu's has a bathroom, so and they let me use it. And,
the public...
Wait a minute,
the public
Carpenters?
Yes, they let me
I
use
see.
The bathroom. They
well,
do.
Well, they do. Do you actually, if you actually patronize Lulu's, then you are, of course, doing something that many of us have decided not to do because of Manthri Srinath, the owner's behavior towards one homeless person and his attitude of towards... people who are panhandling on the street.
Well, I agree that that attitude sucks, but he's doing quite a lot of good for people letting us use the bathroom late at night.
And it's also true, and I'm glad he does, it's also true that Ryan and Neil Coonerty of the Bookshop Santa Cruz have one of the oldest and most respected open bathrooms in the Bookshop Santa Cruz.
It is lovely.
Of course,
I've enjoyed it many times.
I've been allowed in the Bookshop Santa Cruz since 1994, but you could pretend not to be me, and maybe you could get in there. Probably. But the point is...
Works for me. Veterans Building is sometimes open late when they have events.
You can advise people to look for non-existent bathrooms. That's one thing that this ribbon group can do. You can try to help them with what other kinds of projects. You're not going to say finding shelter, I hope, because that would be an interesting claim to make. I would like to,
well, not necessarily finding shelter, but there are places where the homeless know of that, while not secure, are
less risky.
Less risky, and there's if someone new in town is wanting help in that way, you know, there'd be people who would know that.
We would point them to them.
Yeah, and there'd be people who know where all of the resources are, food, clothing, know where tools, you know, where the bike church is. Because there's a lot of homeless coming down.
Isn't that done now by our fine group, the Downtown Information Center, right next to the Del Mar Theater, and the little purple outfits as they kind of scamper around informing on people to the police?
Well, they do that to a certain degree, but not to the extent that we want to see happen. And a lot of the people who want...
Informed to the police? No.
No, a lot of the people who wish to have this information are intimidated by the downtown hosts because of this.
Why would that be? Just because police officers have an office right in the same room as they do, I can't see no reason why people, decent law-abiding citizens, won't be able to walk in and get the information they need.
But how do they know it's there? If you're a visitor and you're all the way up the avenue, you don't know it's there, and you can't tell from looking at it. It's not like so welcoming that people say, oh, this must be the place. It, you know, looks just
so
like a merchant association.
To the downtown information center.
Well, that is one of the things we're going to try to enlist them in this program also.
You get a salary from the downtown information center.
We'll take donations.
We're more than happy to
donations.
That.
We have tax-exempt status, and we can accept any donations of any size anybody cares to make, and would definitely help to defray the costs of the ribbons. Can I move on to discussing another positive project?
Does this cover that? I mean, I'm trying to understand what this group will do, because I'm being sarcastic. I think I have some interest in the fact that you are trying to pose as a third force. And we have the occasional curmudgeon activists who come out on the streets and
I don't know any of those
dress down the police or take pictures of them, and then we have, you know, the hosts who collude with the police and the police themselves, and then we have you guys who are apparently trying to present a rational third alternative.
Most definitely.
Focusing on the positive, just highlighting what's already being done. All you got to do is, like, wear the ribbon, then people know you're doing it and you're doing good stuff and you're available to do more.
What do you think of this?
Well, I want to say a couple of things. One is I think it's everybody's responsibility to help out downtown, to do good things downtown. And I like what you're doing, and I've seen some of the work that you guys have done, you know, and some of the stuff that you've done, specifically with one particular person, and I don't want to get into that over the air. And I think you know who I'm maybe talking about.
Probably have a good idea.
Yeah. And I was quite amazed by that, just that one change in that one person, and that I know that you guys, or at least you, have done a lot of work with. And so I think what you guys are doing is important, and more food programs and all that kind of stuff. You know, I sort of do both. You know me, I do the Monday night food program, and I'm also an activist, and I also think that we need people out protesting against the police that are being bad. You know, me and Robert don't agree all the time on, you know, all merchants being bad. Not that Robert says that all merchants are bad, but we don't always agree on those issues. Like, I wrote some positive stuff about Eric Peabody, the commissioned service officer.
Developed quite a wonderful rapport with him over the last couple of days.
He doesn't carry a gun, and although I don't like the laws that he informs the people about, instead of handing out tickets like candy, he informs, in fact, he's the one that informed Jeremy how to count the steps so that he could panhandle legally. And instead of handing out tickets, and if all the police didn't carry guns and did that, and we fought those bad laws, it would be a much better downtown. And if we had a lot more people like you folks downtown, it would be a lot better. But at the same time, I think that we need the protests and the direct action. And I don't find a lot getting done at the city council. And I think you're really going to have a lot of problems there.
On the contrary, the city council has passed this new police
program. Well, they've done a lot of bad work. What I'm saying is you guys going to the city council with your idea, I think you're going to run into some problems, and I hope you don't. But
can I say one more thing? In that conversation with Sergeant Harms, I also gave him some feedback about the reign of terror downtown. And I said that what they're doing is just, I gave some examples of overreactions of the police department where, like, five cars would swoop down for one suspect or, you know, they just had, you know, some troubled kids sitting on a skateboard on the corner and they had to block the whole intersection with their car. Then when they're on the corner, you get some peace and quiet. But no, the police car's like blocking Front Street. They're on that megaphone telling the driver to put his hands up on the car. You know, all those fake bravado is just nuts. So that's when I made that call about the ganja because that had happened the night before and I wanted to give him some feedback about the overreaction also. And, you know, he kind of, I said that he's just stirring up more fear and anger and people are just, you know, afraid to, they don't know what's coming down, where to go or anything. And it's not surprising that people would react like that. And that I thought the high profile was harming them. And he kind of agreed with me.
Did you actually see these things or did you hear about them?
I saw these things. In fact, the day before I started to call up before I had that ganja conversation later in the evening, I witnessed the police like
this was last Wednesday,
driving up
a week
and
ago Wednesday.
Blocking half of the intersection. They had their car like diagonally
what time
across
of day?
Walnut. This is about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. All this rush hour traffic's trying to come by. They're blocking the intersection to talk to this little punk. It was nuts.
It kind of reminds me of the jaywalking massacre that happened 4 years ago where they had 7 squad cars downtown because people were jaywalking across the street. They blocked the street with their cars. I mean, it's...
But can I make a point?
You can,
the point
but
is
like
I complained.
Swami is getting restless too.
Okay, but I told him, and then the police stopped the next day, so it might have been in response to what I said to him,
what
and he did
stop?
Agree with me. They stopped all the police presence. Everybody said, and it's quiet downtown the next day, and I don't know if my feedback did anything.
Thursday, you're claiming there's been no police presence downtown since Thursday?
No,
I don't
over,
think so.
No, none of this drama, as far as I can tell. Have you seen any drama since the... The last couple days?
A week, last week.
The whole incident with Jeremy happened just a few days ago. So the crackdown that I saw happen at 10:30 in the morning, which was right before all the shops are opening and when there are a lot of homeless people downtown, but there's not so many tourists downtown, was when I saw an incident with Jeremy happen.
You know, I think a way to deal with this, and Swami, I will let you in here. Just give me about 15.
And I'm not saying that, you know, maybe your call seconds. Had some sort of, you know.
You know, I mean, I think the issue here to me is you have to use the fear of losing tourists to hold the police in check. So, for example, if you announce to the tourists what's going on and you point it out very visibly and loudly, in such a fashion that makes the downtown less than a friendly and welcoming place. Because it's not a friendly and welcoming place to poor and homeless people. And the attempt here is to eliminate them and maintain the illusion that it is for the rest of the community. This illusion has to be shattered. It's like the illusion under racial segregation that Martin Luther King shattered with marches. He didn't sit around and try to, well, you know, have a more friendly community. That wasn't the idea. He involved in creative tension to bring to the surface the kinds of contradictions that were happening and then ultimately get a resolution that was a just resolution.
Can we read something from that Martin Luther
before,
King poster
before
there?
You do, we have Swami, who's been waiting Swami-like to say something.
Perfect patience.
Sometimes my newly learned patience is my downfall. I would like to comment on something that our esteemed brother Tim here said. Much of the activity that we are doing is not really focused at getting the city council to change any of what they're doing. Our focus is entirely upon having the people in the community, on the streets, homeless, homed, merchants, police, the entire community coming together and solving the problems from the ground level up rather than trying to impose a solution from the top. What we have noted is that many of the problems that are being blamed on the homeless are not actually problems that are created by the homeless. They are different situations entirely, and our focus is to address those specific problems as we discover them and address them in a way that actually solves the initial problem rather than creating more problems. Yes.
Oh, great, Swami. Do you actually notice more problems than a year ago or 2 years ago? Because, you see, if you
look... Seeing as I've only been here 7 months, I can't answer that question.
Than 6 months ago.
There are different problems now than there were then.
But you live. Is there the kind of difficulty that would justify, even if you? I mean, you and I probably don't agree. I mean, you and I probably agree that that level of police enforcement is not the best way to solve problems, even if they did exist to the extent that some merchants and some council members think they do. But
in point of fact, I have been in big cities. I have been places where people are shooting crack or shooting heroin and smoking crack on the street corners. I have been places where these perceived problems that the police and the city council are looking at are real problems. And I'm really very astounded that everybody is in such an uproar here.
So
the places
that
I, the places that I,
your answer is no. It doesn't look significantly worse than 6 months ago.
Well, frankly, I want to say this to Santa Cruz, and I'm ashamed to say something like this, but you guys really need to pull your heads out of your butts, because the problems you guys are facing are piddling. Really, I've been in many places across the country. And there's very, very severe problems in other places. The problems here in Santa Cruz, yes, they are very significant here in Santa Cruz, but they're not really that big of problems.
Well, the point I like to make is, I mean, you hear this, Tim and I had this discussion last show or the show before, which was, oh, it's not the homeless, it's the other people with the behavioral problems. Gosh, they're blaming the homeless again. Well, what are the problems anyway that are justifying this kind of hysterical response, this kind of overreaction, this kind of homeland security approach? I want to see the stats, and I put in a Public Records Act request to the police department trying to get the details on where's the upsurge in crime, because it's acknowledged even in this article, which I've passed around to you guys, which you can pick up, listeners out there, from the Santa Cruz Sentinel's website, and the date on that is... It's Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. It's an article by Shanna McCord, City Vows Downtown Changes, and then there's this program, Overtime Pay for Police to Increase Patrols, Coordinating Enforcement with State Parole and Probation Officers, Enforcing a New Parking Garage Loitering Law that forces people to leave garages within 15 minutes, and she doesn't mention not enter them at all if they have no vehicle or bicycle, even if it's raining. Speeding up replacement of burned-out streetlights, I'll buy that. Hiring a new police community service officer designated for the downtown. Now, apparently this guy who you're talking about, the...
Eric Peabody.
Eric Peabody, the angel of the police department.
I would say so, yes.
Community service officer. I have a problem regarding anybody who lets themselves be involved in this kind of crap, even if they are the good cop to the bad cop. We who are looking at the situation should not be describing them as angels. Reaching out to downtown merchants and employees, yeah, snitch some more for us, folks. Increasing communication with the DA's office, longer sentences, and more stay-away orders. I mean, this is just a crackdown. And every 2 or 3 years, you'll see the same outcry in the Sentinel and the same complaints from the merchants that
Does it go away?
Does what go away?
Does the outcry fall down again?
Every two or three years,
it sounds like a cycle here.
Usually what happens is they'll get some bullshit laws in place. Like when it happened in 2002, they put into place they expanded the forbidden zones from 6 feet from a building, you can't sit down, to 14 feet from a building, essentially removing all sidewalks except two or three sidewalks where it's legal to sit. They expanded, what's that?
Any place out of the rain that excludes... It excludes anybody from being under an alcove out of the rain.
I have testimony from a fellow who just got a ticket for sitting under the alcove during the rain. I mean, and I want to say that when I went to the studio today, I asked a number of homeless people as the rain began, homeless-looking folks, if they're being hassled, and they said no, but they just got in there, the rain had just started, or they said, it was a sunny day hitherto. So
I just have a question for you guys. As far as like the sleeping ban and the fact that they want the homeless to sleep in the daytime, those kind of ordinances, those kind of insane ordinances, don't you believe that those deserve fighting in a more like direct action manner? And do you think that what you're doing is going to end the sleeping ban, for instance?
I think it would be better to address ourselves to the reasons for making the laws to begin with. Those laws were made to address certain needs, and there's you know, people are not going to stop feeling their needs no matter what you think of them.
We
so,
have a
excuse
need to
me,
make
can
more
I finish?
I'm sorry.
Right. If merchants feel a certain fear, you need to address yourself to that fear. So they're afraid that, well, they have any number of fears. But people need a place to sleep, and merchants need to feel safe. People need to feel comfortable walking down the street. For me, I think it's disgusting, all the spitting that goes on. I personally ask people not to spit, and if those of us who do not like spitting, but ask those the folks who are who spit not to do it, you know, we don't need laws. We can just, you know, let them know that we are affected.
You're
going
to ask
that.
Those who have the temerity to sleep at night not to sleep? And
no, not
nice
at all. I'm
that,
just giving a grassroots. So if we come up with like a network of places where homeless people can safely stay, then we won't need to think about the laws, and we'll, you know, we can work amongst ourselves in the community and find solutions for
it. 150 years.
Well, the concept is to bring some solidarity to the people in the streets. You know, rather than standing and fighting as individuals, which is what is happening right now. You're doing something over in one area. We have Tim doing something over in another area. We have various and sundry people doing various and sundry things in various and sundry areas. What is needed is to pull together as a coalition to actually support each other and lift each other up rather than fighting the establishment, trying to show the establishment that we are a responsible community and can take care of ourselves.
I think we need to show each other we're a responsible community.
Well, that is absolutely where it starts.
Attempting to show people in power anything as a way of proceeding, I think, is a futile, doomed, and pointless task.
Well, the only way to do it is by actually doing it. And the way to start is by actually, as you said, showing the people, which is why we are here tonight, which is why we started the Ribbon Campaign.
The problem, again, is, you know, you're showing the people. I mean, this is like saying to the black people, you know, if only
give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he eats forever. We're trying to teach Santa Cruz to fish.
If only you people cleaned up your mess, we wouldn't have this problem with you. If only you stay on your side of town, it would be okay. Listen, I've seen this myths about homeless. Not myths. Many homeless campsites are a wreck and a mess and a despoiling of the environment. And I remember in 1988 cleaning up dozens of these campsites with homeless people to show the community how wonderful we were.
You have no illusions about
you can never
the.
Never get your rights by begging by going.
We have no intention of begging.
Show us. We're going to show you we are responsible. No, please,
that is,
no,
that is absolutely not.
If you are living the life you want, then there's no. You just don't think about whether you have rights or not. Things just flow for you. It's kind of like the zen of being on Pacific Avenue.
We're not about begging.
You know how many hours I spend there. You know how much ganja I smoke. You know how many hours I play music.
You did get harassed. I'm sorry. You did.
Once out of how many hundreds or thousands of hours that I spent there.
I've talked to people who've only recently gotten harassed, but they have been getting it, and this is happening routinely as a general concern for people. Maybe not to the same person repeatedly, but enough so that it makes people feel as less than human beings, makes people feel unsafe. I mean, I can run through the litany.
Well, we want to know what kind of world do we want to live in, and we want to create the world we want to live in. It's not like what's wrong with that world. It's like what do we want to do with Santa Cruz, and what do we want to do on the planet? It's less relevant what laws are there when we do what we're, you know, what we came to the planet to do, whatever our dharma is, then
Kim is
obstacles
ready to say
melt
that.
Away.
We are about empowerment, not begging. If we empower ourselves, we won't need to beg.
Okay, it's a little obscure how you can propose.
Well,
I want to hear about that.
What I want to say is I have problems, and I have, you know, good thoughts about what you guys are saying, and I think maybe there's a place for both. But this sort of reminds me of the Phil Oaks, you know, we're going to pretend your war isn't going on. You know, we're just going to say the war's over when the war's not really over. You know, I really liked Phil Oaks, but I never quite got on that bandwagon. You know, I wasn't I was a little kid during that time, but as I read, you know, his stuff about sort of saying the war is over when the war is not over and we're just not going to participate, it's like ignoring the laws around you and sort of creating your own environment or your own space. And I think that's, and I think that's okay and good to teach people and easy to say when you're housed. And I think we're all for your house. Is that correct?
Well, various periods.
I have to, but it's easier to say when you are housed. And I'm not, I don't mean that as a detractment.
And there are also plenty of people out there who are voluntarily homeless. It's not like, oh my God, I can't.
Oh no,
they're
yeah, and most of the people that I know that are voluntarily homeless don't take services. Most of the people I know.
And they don't even want to come over your house when you invite them.
yeah, and that's, I think that's fine. But in order for those people to be able to have the rights to do that, we need to fight these laws. And I believe in, you know, your idea of empowering people and all that. That's great. But I don't think it's going to stop any of these laws or any of the crackdowns that are happening. I think this crackdown's happening to get ready for Easter, personally, for the shopping time.
Make a comment? Most of the people that claim to be harassed by the police and victims of this and victims of that are people who've really displaced responsibility for themselves and disempowered themselves. People who have a constant history of this because they're perpetuating their own traumas and need to find the handle to do their own healing. So anybody who has an ongoing problem like this has some inner work to do. You know, for somebody like me to be
subject to an occasional mistake. I really don't like that.
Okay.
It's been true for me. I'm not being presumptuous.
I would ask you to go through each case that you see and show it to me empirically before I would give it some credence. I mean,
stand by.
The papers will be on your desk. What I'm saying here is that what's happening is a general denial of people's basic civil rights. And for you to say, well, these people aren't taking any responsibility for themselves, sounds exactly like what the letter writers are saying to you. You've written a very good letter to the paper, Valerie, and you've actually provoked a lot of discussion in the community in the Santa Cruz Sentinel. We might want to read that at some point. I want to put out the phone numbers so we can get beyond this particular group of ne'er-do-wells, myself included. 427-3772. Again, 427-FRSC. I hope we actually have an open line. I thought we did. I think we do. Maybe somebody out there can try a kind of a call to see if it actually works.
Call on my cell phone if they want.
Oh, okay. Well,
Put that out on the air.
If you know my cell phone number, feel free to call it.
You know, I wanted to respond is that, you know, I believe that there are people that you can work with on the street and help their life improve.
Mm-hmm.
And that the services that are out there that the county provides and the city provides and the federal government provides are not doing that adequately.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a need there for that. But at the same time, to say that all these homeless people need that help, I think is wrong. I just talked to a gentleman who's been homeless for 3 years. I've never seen a more responsible and articulate man. He should be on the show this Sunday. He's being constantly harassed for sleeping. He feels horribly degraded by this crackdown. And like I said, I've never seen a more articulate, smart man who simply lost his job and lost his pension and ended up homeless. And now he's thinking he's going to have to leave Santa Cruz, where he's lived for 25 years. Because he can't afford to live on the $1,000 a month that he gets from his Social Security.
Now, we're always happy to help people like that, so if you send them our way, we're going to move.
Are you going to find a house for him? Because that's what he needs.
Guys, we're going to move beyond this discussion for the moment because we've been doing it for an hour. And I would like to know specifically what the empowerment proposals are, and we can get into that. But I've also got other stuff I want to do on the show, and I'm going to proceed with that. I'm going to play some, we're actually getting into a taped interview of you, Swami. You can argue with yourself on the tape.
He does that all the time. That's what he gets to be the ascended master that he is.
Indeed.
By mastering himself in debates.
You're going to echoed Swami.
And I also want to point out that for those of you who are interested, you can talk to Swami any day of the week when he's there in front of the coffee roasting company on his blanket until they clear him away finally, which they haven't done, which is good.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And you can also talk to Valerie here. She may have ultimately put out her phone number. Tim is available through humanityforhomeless.blogspot.com, if I'm not mistaken. And he's also does a Monday feeding at 6 o'clock in front of the New Leaf Market, just as Valerie shows up. I think you show up Tuesdays and Wednesdays and sometimes on Tuesdays, too.
Yeah, she's been showing up on Mondays.
So again,
too,
in the evening in front of New Leaf Market, you want to talk about this. We actually have a caller who wants to talk about it now, so I'll postpone my tape. Hi, you're on Free Radio with the Fabulous Four here.
All right. Well, it looks like your phone is working.
Oh, great.
So that's good news. So.
I sense another Valerie calling in here.
Yeah, thing one and thing two.
You actually, Valerie, you do the Tuesday feeding program. Thank you very much for doing that.
Oh, well, my pleasure, as people say when they thank me, and it truly is.
So what do you think of all this? Any comments? Am I off base? Should we kill Valerie before we leave the studio? Just
kidding. Actually,
or should we shoot Robert? Or
I'm very much involved with Huff and very much a supporter of activism. I'm also very much, my lifestyle is very on the spiritual side. My belief is that you do need to put out positive in order to get positive. To me, what you think is what you attract. And you, if you put out a lot of heavy energy, you're going to get a lot of heavy back. And that, you know, that's fine if you don't believe that, but it'll happen to you whether you like it or not. But I believe that we must help people to change the law in a positive direction where it does not squash us, because there are people who are putting out negative energy who are hurting others. And so and I think on a law basis of what's fair and working on the level of what we've always realized is the way to do it is to sit down and work out problems, not fight each other. Wars don't work. And what does work is working things out, even if it takes a long time or if it takes isolating people and backing them up and sitting them down and quieting them down until they calm down or whatever we have to do. There might be some pressure put on certain people in order to be able to work things out with them. But the final thing we should do is love. We should work it out where we work it out together. And we are one group here in this town. And if we work separately and say we are not one, we're all separated, and we need to point fingers at everybody, and we better turn the finger around and think about ourselves, too, as well, and think about what we do. So I think that both answers are right, and that's what I've been discovering as I've been involved in Huff, because I'm pretty much on the basis of helping others and supporting, and that's my thing. But I really do believe that we must work with the laws. We must put flashlights and spotlights on certain people. Look, this is going on. Notice it, because that is not the way we want as an example of how we treat others. And I think that's the way sometimes the cops are. They should not treat others in a way that hurts others. And we need to put a spotlight on that. So I think if you guys merge together a little more and see you're both saying some things that are important, it's a whole thing. And both of them are going to be helpful. Both things will work. And I say more power to you on putting out spiritual energy, Swami and Valerie. And definitely, Tim and Robert, we have to change the laws. And however we do that, whether we sit in protests and do sit-ins and say we want our rights or whatever, or we go and we bring lawyers and we create a law that help change the laws, whatever we can do to bring positive energy. We have to keep focusing on that positive energy, and I agree with Val and Swami for that. We must do that in order to create the what we want in life, and that's good things happening and not bad. So that's my opinion, whatever good it is.
Thank you, Valerie.
Can I say one thing? Mm-hmm. I think it's a question of, it's not a question of what everybody should do, but I think it's easy to get angry, and I think you know, for some people it's their lot in life, their destiny to work on a legal level, and I don't want to take that away from any of you, but I'm just suggesting.
Don't take it away from me, please.
In theory,
you wouldn't be anybody without it.
Yeah, but I'm just suggesting, you know, for people who are not already involved and who are not already committed to either,
spiritual path. Can you? I've cut down your mic here because I want to know if you can give me some specifics that people can do. In other words, do you want people to reach you on this yellow ribbon or this What is it, multicolored ribbon?
To come by and get a ribbon from Baba at the Dharma Blanket or from us at SAFE, and I'm going to ask the downtown host to keep some there, and I may ask some of the other merchants, and, you know, this is just an ongoing conversational program, so we'll be distributing them. People can also get their own, you know, it's just bright tropical.
Okay, we can get the ribbons. Now, the question is, once you've got the ribbons, what exactly, you're going to have meetings in terms of how to proceed? You have a sort of set of principles. Will Swami violate his oath to have no oaths? So what's actually going to happen?
We're just asking people to wear them. It's just to identify yourself as a helper, basically, kind of like the guardian angels or the brown berets, you know, somebody in the community who's available for whatever help you need at that time. And we don't want to overextend your own boundaries. You want to be conscious
of
your limitations, directions.
Whatever a person can do. Yeah, whatever a person is doing, or in fact, there's a number of people who have received ribbons who are already and have been for several years doing something. We're just making it a little bit more visible. For instance, one couple who's known as Mom and Pops, they
unpaid bill.
Ah, yes, you know of whom I speak. Mm-hmm. They've been doing.
That's what he calls himself, the unpaid.
Yes, they've been doing things frequently for the past several years to help people who are on the streets, and it's these type of people who are, you know, have the self initiative to go ahead and do some
sort of
help.
You're just saying you're going to give people who are already helping people ribbons to wear, and then other people who kind of encourage them to help more by giving them a ribbon to wear, that sort of thing.
Well, it's to make them more identifiable. When new people come to town, we want to get the word out on the streets. Go find a person who has a ribbon. If you have a problem or have a question,
it's going to be a yellow ribbon. That's all I can tell you.
No, it's the
bright tropical colors.
Okay. Well, Tim has been.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I've had some negative things and some positive things to say about what you guys are doing, and I do want to say, and I don't want to mention names and stuff, but I have seen positive things, some really positive things happen with specific people that Swami's worked with, although I have to say I was very...
Hang on. I mean, I want to stay
on... Wait.
I want to stay on topic. The topic here is the crackdown in Santa Cruz, not sort of generally...
Well, you're also interviewing him about this empowerment program,
well,
and all
I am, but I'm frankly telling you that that's not going to take more than an hour and 5 minutes, and we've been doing it for an hour and 5 minutes. That's enough. I want to return to the issue. The real issue of this program is stopping the crackdown.
Okay.
Now, I don't want broad philosophical statements about being positive and changing the nature of everyone's point of view and everybody help everybody else. That's fine. Actually, I approve of that.
That's all I was going to say is that I approve of it. I just think that we also, again, need the direct action.
I want to know what specifically, and again, general statements like that are fine too, but what exactly are, because indeed we are trying to find out, you know, what this particular program is going to be doing. You got ribbons. That's going to identify people.
It will encourage people who are wearing the ribbons to talk to each other and be more more coordinated, more on purpose, more focused about what they're doing. People can wear the ribbons for anywhere from 1 minute to all day and all night, however long they want to be on duty. You know, it's like the on duty sign on the taxi cab.
And so how can people get these ribbons? How should they?
They should come by the Dharma Blanket, or I'm going to ask the Downtown Association to distribute them, and we'll have them at the musical events. And I'll have them with me at my guitar case. I can give them to you, anybody who wants them, and they can also go to Hearts Fabrics and buy them themselves.
Well, I think any kind of organizing that gets people in more communication with each other is going to be positive, even if I maybe not terribly wild about the philosophy here. But I think because I think that, you know, if there's problems happening on the streets, it's going to be more benefit to people that they're in touch with each other than if they're not. And I think that that's a positive thing. I would hate to see the downtown neighbors take over your program, but, you know, with the...
I think we're eligible to be in the downtown neighbors, actually. I feel like we must be eligible for membership.
Oh,
we
sure.
Could be
go,
a force
go to one
in
of their
that.
Meetings, and you can become a police informant as well.
No, I think we can be a positive force. But
that's very positive.
The point was that what we're doing here is not saying that people should not be involved on the legal level, but just to present options. Cause
not
when
the legal level we're talking
political
about.
Political level, what a reactive level. So if somebody, a newcomer to the situation sees it and says, what should I do? You know, I don't know what to do. I'm troubled, but what can I do? We want them to know there are positive options as well. We're not saying don't do any of the things that you're doing.
I'm glad to see positive options, and I think there are positive things that are missing that were here 30 years ago, like the Santa Cruz switchboard, which is gone, you know, and like services for people which aren't around, which people could, you know, try to provide for themselves. Though I understand the stuff was originally funded by, you know, county funds out of programs that just disappeared in the late 70s. But, you know, I think we need all kinds of different groups doing all kinds of different positive things. But if you're talking about the crackdown on Pacific Avenue, that is a very particular kind of problem that we have. And I think I'd like to play some more testimony about it or talk about specific things you've seen. What are you going to do when a police officer approaches you and starts, you know, looming over you? Now, I am going to hope to get into the studio, my old pal Yon Golder, to do a little role-playing as to possible things that can be done. But maybe we should use the... We could ask, what would the yellow and green ribbon squad, the ribboneers, what would the ribboneers do if the police officer came along and said, okay, it's time for you folks to be moving along? Because that's really what they're doing.
Could I use a scenario that I just saw happen?
Sure.
Okay. There was a kid who just moved, got here into town. It was the same day that I watched the bicycle bus next to the bus station. And he was sitting against the wall, away from everybody, not causing any problems, sober, no warrants, no nothing. And the policeman approached him and started and asked for his ID. He gave it to him, started writing him a citation, and he was like, what am I doing wrong? It was hot that day. It was that one particularly hot day last week. He said, I'm just sitting out of the sun. He said, you're sitting against the wall. And that's the only words a police officer would tell him. Didn't tell him, you know, how, you know, where he was allowed to sit. He just gave him the citation and sent him on his way.
I mean, what you could do is you could do what the hosts do, which is say, now all you have to do is move 14 feet forward and sit over there. Or you can do what we did in 1994, which is have 15 people sit down next to him. And sort of, you know,
that's
not
what my answer would be.
You know,
but
I mean,
I don't object to that
really,
at all.
It really depends, but will you organize for that? See, that's the question. It doesn't happen because, you know, I mean, I guess, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in any situation. Often when you organize for it, it doesn't happen either because the police, when they see it's about to happen, they'll suddenly, their interest will go somewhere else. They don't want to deal with a protest. And indeed, that's what happened the first few weeks after the downtown ordinances were passed in 1994. We marched to the bookshop Santa Cruz where Mayor Coonerty was and sat down all over there, and they just sort of waved at us. They didn't care. And then they started going after Food Not Bombs people 2 weeks later, just sort of harassing them for sitting down and writing them tickets. Well, the next week, bunches of people showed up and sat down, and then they arrested 40 of us, then they stopped arresting. And then they had a little police riot, and they beat some people up, and they left. They declared a riot zone, and then they threw out the law. The judges threw out the law, and the city council voted in the law that said you have to be more than six feet from a building, which is now more than 14 feet from a building. So
That's part of the problem, is they keep extending these laws, and so we have to fight them.
I mean, I am really sympathetic with the idea that you don't have to fight these laws one at a time. How ridiculous. You know, I mean, we've got better things to do, and the better things to do are the things that you two are talking about, which we're not really talking about it, but I think we're pointing in that direction. The things that people have to do in a community to make their lives better, which are a whole variety of things.
Can I offer a couple of other suggestions for programs that I'm looking into?
Well, you can, but, you know, I'm about
fast.
Do it fast.
Okay. One is a good newspaper. We're going to publish a newspaper of only the good news, real good news.
Reverend Moon is going to be represented here.
No, I've got all the spiritual stuff covered myself. Thank you.
Yeah, the Moon and the Swami.
Baba byline in there. And that'll be that will involve the merchants, and I would like it to be serious competition to the Sentinel and attract advertising. But I will be content to have it just be a street sheet for now and be you know, kind of the voice of our Pacific Avenue community. Then the other thing is, I haven't looked into this, but I have nonprofit status as a church, a state tax exempt entity, so. Probably even without that, I could hire people or I could contract people from Community Options. And anybody who has any kind of organization, including you, as far as I know, can get people who have community service time to work off so they can help you do your work. Or in my case, I feel like everybody has a dream and everybody has something to contribute. So if they, you know, if I sign for their arrangement, then I will let them just
That's an interesting
to whatever project they want to do.
It's an interesting question, by the way, as to what we had thought that they'd stopped arresting people for warrants for infractions. That supposedly ended in November because Heather Morse, the presiding judge, had said, we're going to turn this into a civil administrative matter. We're just going to make you, if you don't pay your bill within a month, we'll just send it, we'll put a surcharge of $300 on it and send it south instead of trying to arrest you with a warrant and bring you into court because it's just too expensive for us. But I'm wondering if anyone in the studio has gotten any reports that people are being dragged in on infraction warrants. I mean, the paper talks about misdemeanor warrants. You know, there's a shotgun in the back of the car and all that sort of thing. I'm too happy to hear about a loaded shotgun in the car, but I can tell you where most of the loaded shotguns are in this town, in the back of which cars. You see?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, or, you know, where most of the weaponry is. And that disturbs me even more at the moment. You know, and I'm talking about the police department, of course. I got back from Fresno 2 days ago, yesterday, actually. And the Fresno Police Department was lining the streets for Fat Tuesday, you know, the Mardi Gras celebration. And they had police on horses. They had long semi-vehicles. They had ambulances. And it was essentially a bunch of people, you know, celebrating. And it just looked like there was this huge force of people, three or four police officers every half block, to intimidate the community. And that is what I see happening here. Intimidation is going on. And well, I can. I think we need to find some answers to it. And the fact that you don't immediately pick up my answer, or I don't immediately pick up your answer, isn't important. Both answers are, you know, good, and I've got no problem with that.
I'm just trying to make possibilities available for people. Other
Great.
People out there may have
that.
Some other answers, and I'd like to welcome them all.
Right, and I think we can actually involve ourselves in each other's projects. You know, we can send you to do some ribboning, and you can keep an eye on the police when you see things happening. You can say, what's going on here? You know, I mean, you don't have, you're not.
I usually do, actually. I don't have an agenda to, you know, harass them or find fault with them. But I like to stay awake.
Or kiss their butt every time they
come up. I just like to see what's important. I feel like this is my community. I need to see what's going on, so I do watch them.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. Well, let me play a few tapes here. I've been talking about this for an hour and 15 minutes. Tim, you have anything you want to say?
No, I was just going to agree. That's a good place to leave off.
And you got to have Baba play his song, though.
Okay, well, let's have Baba play his song.
Oh, yeah.
The live song will come up. If you want to contribute to this falderall, you can. The number to call is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. Also, I want to point out there is a special meeting of City Council tomorrow, an unusual Friday afternoon session. For those who are interested, this is a session on a particular subject. I'm going to pull it up here so I can tell you exactly what it is. It's a special City Council legislative meeting with Senator Joe Sumishian and Assemblyman John Laird. So you get to talk to your state representative. Starts at 2:30, and there's it's a preview of the infrastructure bond funding possibilities for the city of Santa Cruz. Mayor Riley will welcome the politicians. There'll be introductions and comments from legislators, discussion of the city's legislative priorities, mitigating the impact of the University of California, potential infrastructure, bond funding, eminent domain, and concluding remarks. Missing from this is any kind of public comment period, which I believe is a violation of the Brown Act. So it looks like the city council's at it again. I'd say go, and if you want to talk to these two legislative individuals, Laird had me arrested at least twice. He's an old friend of mine. He was the mayor here when he arrested people for serving free food and has never bothered to apologize for that or indicate that the policy should have been changed. He said he went after people. He's one of these progressives who are progressive in Nicaragua and very repressive locally, at least on some issues. However, what he's doing legislatively, I understand he's done good things with AIDS, HIV, needle exchange, and gay rights, and I want to commend him for his actions there. I only wish he did something locally where he had some real power, and he got some power in the state legislature. I commend him for that. If you want to talk to him about these issues, come on down tomorrow at 2:30. Swami, the mic is yours.
Oh, boy, how exciting.
You might want to get closer to one of those mics, or maybe Tim can move you in a little closer there.
Can I hold that, please?
Whoa.
How's that for the guitar?
Yeah, I need one on the guitar. How's it all sound in there? I wrote this song about the street musicians in Santa Cruz. Had wonderful inspiration sitting on the blanket for many hours a day. Heard nearly all of them. So here it goes. It's called 20, a.k.a.
Sue. I'm a street musician in Santa Cruz. I got no money and I play the blues. Does it matter that I can't play? Gonna have to listen to me anyway. But if you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. Well, every day I play where I can. Every night I sleep in my van. If you give me money, I might go away, but I'll come back on another day. But if you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. Well, $100 and I'll move down the street. $500 and I'll quit for a week. Give me $1,000 and I'll move to L.A. $5,000, I'll be on my way. Yeah. But if you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. If you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. Lead guitar.
I'll give you $20, please. Stop doing this.
Oh, it's just too real to be true.
All right, now we turn to a few tapes. There's more. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a street musician in Santa Cruz. Got no money and I play the blues. I've suffered for my art, now it's your turn. Then you got money and money to burn. But if you give me $20, I'll stop doing this. You give me $20, I'll stop doing this. Oh, someone give me $20, so I'll stop doing this. Oh, come on. Hey, 1995. 1750. Somebody, just... How about a quarter? 5 cents. Give me 5 cents. Somebody stop me from doing this, please.
I'll stop you. We're stopping him. If you want any comments about this, the musical values on this show or the spiritual values, you can give a call, 427-3772. We're going to pick up with a few street interviews. Actually, this is from a man who I guess you were calling Monkey. He goes by a couple of other names. We aren't going to reveal all his aliases, but here he is on the street.
People that have a historical perspective on this, there's a book by Tim McGraw called The Tramp in America. There's a long rich history of nomadism in the lower classes in the United States, and there's also a long history of brutal suppression of populations by the armed security forces of the U.S. government when they deem that certain populations are out of control or don't fit in with the particular economic model. Okay, and so the economic model that's being pushed on downtown Santa Cruz is gentrification, and what that means is that Santa Cruz is being converted into a giant shopping center, and all the poor people have to get out. A giant boutique shopping center for the well-off. Through the late 1800s, all the way up until the 1920s and 30s, there was a tramp scare in the United States, and in a lot of towns, the nomadic people were brutally run out of town, usually through the local police or gangs of hired vigilante thugs, basically. So I think it's really important for people to have that historical perspective and understand that that class is very much a topic in the United States that gets left out of the popular discourse. Because of the civil rights movement, racism, you know, is now considered like a dirty word. It's still okay to discriminate against people in the United States on a class basis. And which is not to say, of course, that racism hasn't
as Lieutenant
completely
Clark
gone
over there.
Away.
He's the officer who's quoted in the paper today. Here he is. You may know this story regarding this man who allegedly assaulted an officer, and he
was then hauled away, and he's being held on $50,000 bail after being affronted, I should probably say affronted, but confronted with a ticket. Yes, confronted by police officers with this idea. Right. So, does anybody know this guy, Stokes? You ever talked to him?
I don't really know him personally. I've seen him around town.
Any have you ever spoken to him? Want to speak for free radio?
I've seen him spanging here. That's all.
Right. Just yeah. I passed him by. Usually, it's very quiet. On one occasion, I did have a conversation with him after he'd spoken to a police officer, and he was upset about it. But and he sounded well. His ideation, his ideas seemed very peculiar. It sounded like he was.
He's mentally unstable.
Classically, labeled. One would label mentally ill, but I don't know about that. But
that's
he sounded weird to me, man. I mean, you know.
Well, that's all based on the perspective of what normal is, of course.
Of course. But in other words, he sounded like he was sort of ill-equipped to address relatively ordinary context. Most of us don't appreciate police officers.
Let alone a highly stressful
violating our privacy.
Let alone a highly stressful situation of being confronted by the police. The thing that really strikes me about the article is I think it's the police spokesperson has a quote in there where they call it an unprovoked attack. And I want to state right here that physically assaulting the police when you're in a ticket situation is probably just about the last thing that you should do. At the same time, I think it's disingenuous to refer to the attack as unprovoked when there's obviously been a campaign of deliberate provocation that everybody in town is aware of.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the lefty propaganda, Mr. What's your name again?
My name is Colin Clyde.
Thank you, Colin.
And I'm a street philosopher.
Well, excellent. Let's make sure your philosophy stays in the right channel.
Pirate radio is a very good way to get your word out. And Mr. Norse here is downtown just about every day. So, you know, if you've got something to say, heck, if you think that I'm a complete idiot and everything that I just said is completely wrong, come down here and say your piece.
Or call 427-3772.
That's right. Come speak into the mic. This is free speech radio. The First Amendment is still in effect no matter what the Bush administration tries to tell you.
You can talk a lot, but don't try and sleep after 11 o'clock at night. Or, for that matter, sit down on the sidewalk in the wrong place. So again, we have approached the ineffable Swami here to ask him, because he seems to have had an acquaintance with Ronald Stokes, a homeless African-American who is now presumably in jail after assaulting an unnamed officer who I fear may have provoked him in part of this crackdown, which seems to have provoked a lot of other people, but only Stokes had the bad judgment to strike back physically.
Yeah, I've actually known Ronald for quite a while, and I'm, like I said earlier, this is one of the people who I don't know by name, but I know by presence and by actually having helped quite a bit. He's one of the people that I've had my eye on for a while now, actually consciously helping to get through their fears and get through the traumas that are causing the difficult behaviors that are, such as striking the police officer, which actually is very surprising to me that he did so, because up until now, and I've been interacting with him for about 4 or 5 months now, and
we're going to pause before Swami gives his psychiatric diagnosis. Because on the air with us is a caller. Hi, Dale. You're on the air with Tim, Swami, Valerie, and me. Welcome.
Hi, gang. How you doing?
Wonderful.
Good.
Fine.
Listen, I just wanted to tune in because I respect so much the station that you're running, and I respect so much what you're trying to do. But I have to tell you honestly, on the free speech side, I completely support what you're doing. But my two bits is that I went to the homeless shelter in Santa Cruz here. We moved here in June of last year, and we've been in various cities around California, but we moved here in June. We love Santa Cruz. We think there's so much here that's worthwhile. But bums on the streets begging for money are not worthwhile. And having been a journalist myself for years and having done stories on the homeless situation, I can say that for anybody listening out there, the thing you should do is go down and talk to, I believe the gentleman's name is Marcus, at the homeless shelter just off of Highway 1 at River Street. Go in there, get some business cards, grab the business cards, make a donation to help folks get their lives straightened back up. Make a donation on a monthly basis, as I am doing. And when some bum on the street, and they are bums, make no doubt, mistake, they are bums. If they are panhandling, then and the idea that you just expressed through your the street person of saying, gosh, you know, there's a large nomadic community and there's a large history in the United States, bums are bums. If you decide that you cannot work, if you decide you cannot seek help, you should not be asking for money from me. And I will give you a card that will allow you to go down and get your life straightened out at services and agencies that are thankfully here to help you get your life straightened out.
Dale, are you aware?
But get the hell off of Pacific Avenue.
Dale, hang on, Dale. Dale, I want to interrupt you for a moment because, you know, this is a program. You're of course giving the merchant line. This is what they've been saying for decades. They give out a little card which essentially has no help for meaningful emergency services.
That's
and the money
just
you,
not true.
Yes, it is. You know how many?
No, it's not.
Wait a minute.
I've been a journalist.
Hang on just a second, Mr. Journalist. Do you know exactly how many beds are available tonight and how many people are out there? Can you tell me that? If you're a journalist, you know. Sorry.
What did you say?
Can you tell me how many beds are available for people to sleep in tonight, and how many people are have to use those beds? Because I can tell you that.
Okay, and do you think that they're all filled?
I think that there are 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people, and there are 160. That's what I think. And
that's
I think
the guy from Homeless Resource Center said to the city council last week.
I mean, and the point is not, I mean, we have a different philosophy on this, and I can understand we have a difference of opinion here.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you really should understand that when you give money to homeless services, you have to consider that a major amount of it doesn't get to homeless people, first of all.
I disagree completely. I worked with Paparello House in Fresno for years. I saw that the community was reaching out, and they were giving melons one day and cheese the next.
Hang on a second. Did you actually hear the homelessness marathon last night?
No.
It came out of Fresno, and Paparello House was a principal target of criticism by one homeless person after another. All those, perhaps you would call them all bums. But they were homeless mothers, they were homeless children, they were people who had been abusively treated by Paparello House, or people who thought Paparello House was colluding with the police and destroying homeless encampments because people had no place to go. And I'm not saying that homeless services don't do something for people, they do. You know, no question about it. But the question is...
And so, in your last gentleman you just had on there, Robert, that gave about 5 or 6 minutes of time to, and I fully support your right to do that.
Oh, Clyde, yeah.
He was completely full of it. His idea of nomadic lifestyle being something we should encourage was wrong, flat out wrong. And I'm frankly,
well,
I have to say right now that I would be one of the persons who would really want to direct people who have a mental illness or have decided that they do not want to work to get help.
Okay, there's,
because
there's,
being on the street is their choice.
Okay.
But I also
hang on. This is an ideology. Dale, this is an ideology you're propounding. It is an ideology that comes out of some social service providers, the Bush administration, and the claim is the problem is not inadequate.
Let me finish.
The claim is not inadequate housing and inadequate jobs, but that people are intrinsically. People are intrinsically defective. Is the problem? That they have a drug problem. That they have an alcohol problem. That if only they'd fix themselves up, that would resolve the homelessness issue. Is that your claim?
Yes, but do not.
Okay, I disagree with that.
I voted for Gore and Kerry.
Well, you know, I didn't, but that's okay.
Yes, you did. You just
I think you
Bush
show us the numbers. You're making some extravagant claims here.
Hang on a second. You're stirring up the studio here, Dale. What can I tell you?
Well, I just think it's funny. Having moved to Santa Cruz, having been all over California, having been a journalist, having done homeless.
What journalist work did you do?
I find it amazing and incredible.
Have you ever been homeless yourself, sir?
You know, I listened to your show, and I was listening to this guy talk about. We should encourage the nomadic.
I got that. Dale, let me ask you this. Have you ever been homeless yourself? And B, what kind of journalism did you do?
Rolled rolled down my window and said, thank you, officers, the two officers walking down the
street.
Hang
on a second, hang on a second. We're having a little communication problem because I'm trying to talk over you. I have two questions for you. One is, what journalism work have you done? I'd like to know about that. And secondly, have you ever been homeless yourself?
No, I've never been homeless.
Okay, and what kind of journalism work have you done?
I was a TV news anchor and reporter for years. I've done both radio and TV. You and I met about 6 months ago. I shook hands and applauded your efforts at Free Radio. I fully support it. I think on that side of the coin, what you guys are doing on this radio station is wonderful because you're trying to battle back against the corporate media, which has taken over the majority of this country's radio waves. I applaud you for that.
But when you
start trying to, how can I put it?
Well, we disagree on this issue. I mean, that's pretty clear.
Definitely. Yeah. I think folks that need help. Just
by
hanging out in the streets and
asking. Standards?
Literally, I was in front of Noah's Bagels 2 weeks ago. All right? I walked into Noah's Bagels on Pacific Avenue. I got myself a bagel. I'm walking out. One homeless guy started arguing with another homeless guy, and they were just spewing obscenities left and right. They were yelling and shouting. I literally had to step across the street and say, guys, watch your language. Cut it out.
Good for you. Good for you.
That's what I do also.
Why do I even have to do that? Those guys, literally, there was another homeless guy sitting outside of Noah's Bagels that just simply littered all in front of Noah's Bagels.
Right. Now, let me.
Why should we have to put up with
right,
that?
Now, right. We shouldn't. Wait a minute. Hold it. The answer is we shouldn't have to put up with that. But let me pose you a third question. If you saw a police officer, driving a homeless person away from an awning into the rain, what would
Robert,
be your reaction to that? I'm asking you a third question.
Do you believe I've seen you on the street, Robert? I've seen you.
You're not answering my question.
Do you believe that these folks should be good citizens?
I think we all should be good citizens.
Then when they're not, what you would do with them?
Well, I think if people are littering, if people are, you know, disturbing the peace, I think they should be held accountable for it. No question about it.
And
If they are aggressively panhandling, what should happen? I think
is abusive or assaultively dealing with somebody else, they should face legal consequences. However, unfortunately, that's not the case in Santa Cruz in the main. You have a whole series of laws that call themselves aggressive panhandling laws. What they actually are gentrification laws that have to do with clearing away poor and homeless people from 95% of the street. So that possibility that you saw that is not a pleasant possibility, I agree with you, doesn't even have a chance of happening. It sets in a form of intimidation against
Robert,
everything.
Where have you been? I saw you in front of the city council about a month ago pleading the case of the homeless, and I thought, okay, he's got a point and all that.
Right.
And then I could go right down to Pacific Avenue, two blocks from City Hall, and have people walk up to me and say, hey, give me a buck. No, I'm not going to give you a buck.
Well, did they attack you afterward? Did they strangle your child? I mean, what happened next?
Yeah, what about free speech? They don't get to.
I mean,
ask
you know, and your point is taken. It's not pleasant to have people, you know, seek money from you, and particularly if it's done so. Did you feel threatened? I mean, was that part of it? Hello.
I'm thinking about it.
I'm sorry. I think that's fair. No, I mean, take your time.
Not being a good citizen.
Sorry.
No, because I'm thinking to myself. You know what? I should not have to put up with it.
Well, I understand that, but were you threatened? I mean, you may have been a nuisance, an annoyance, something you don't like, but did you feel physically threatened? Did you think your safety was in danger?
And I have chosen the middle ground. I have chosen to go to the homeless shelter.
You haven't answered my question. Again, you're not answering my questions.
I am. No, I've chosen the middle ground.
No, I asked you. Dale, I asked you if you felt threatened, and I want to know about that.
Robert, do you want to hear the answer to your question?
Tell me.
All right. I've chosen the middle ground. I've thought about this, right? I believe that someone has the free speech right to be rude. And I have the right to respond in this way. Sir, here is a card. Go get some help.
Sure you do. I agree with you completely.
But did you feel afraid, he asked you?
I asked you if you felt afraid.
Threatened, yeah.
Oh, no, I did not feel afraid, but I tell you what, I have a 13- and 10-year-old daughter, and I completely agree with what the police are doing. They should go out and get rid of aggressive panhandlers. They should make sure the drugs are not. You know, when I came to this town, I thought to myself, gosh, you know, as an old church, I need to know where my daughters can be free to roam. I want them to be free to roam in downtown Santa Cruz and not just north of Cathcart.
Okay, I want to know if they should also get rid of aggressive sleepers, you know, people who snore at night and have no legal place to go. Because that's what they're doing.
Sleepers.
Yeah.
Is this the absurdity of your conversation?
This is the reality, my friend. This is the reality of what happens at night. You want me to show you the citations I've been getting from these people, showing them to me? People who have been sleeping peacefully for months are now being harassed by the police because people like yourself want to make it a gentrified area.
Where are they sleeping, Robert?
They're sleeping in private spaces without any objection from the a couple of places. There's some public spaces downtown. There's some private spaces elsewhere.
Okay. Folks should not be sleeping on Pacific Avenue.
It wasn't on Pacific Avenue.
Nobody sleeps hardly at all.
Very few people sleep on Pacific Avenue. We're talking about like, I mean, areas. It's like two or three blocks from Pacific Avenue. Maybe are you setting up a cordon sanitaire downtown where we won't allow those dirty, ugly people to be?
I do not want somebody sleeping in my front yard. Do you?
No. It depends. I mean, if I gave them permission, sure. But if I said it was okay, I wouldn't want the police to be running around arresting them, which is what they can do under Santa Cruz law. Did you know that?
I applaud that. I applaud that completely.
What do you applaud?
Because frankly, folks.
What do you applaud? What do you applaud? You applaud
a homeless life.
You applaud. Wait a minute. You applaud the police going in and arresting someone on my property who's sleeping there with my permission?
Oh no.
Okay, I just want to make that clear. Well, they can do that. That's what they do. In fact, police have gone after churches where people were sleeping outside because they decided they were violating the sleeping ban, which not only prohibits sleeping on all public property, no matter where it is in Santa Cruz, even though there's only 160 spaces for 1,500 people tonight.
Robert, if I may,
you're not responding to this, man. I run these stats
by you.
What you
have done is redirect the issue that I called you on. And if you'd like to talk about sleeping, go right
ahead.
It's the
same issue. It's the same issue.
Well,
thank you for calling in, Dale. And I just want to say before you go that the tickets involve a variety of things, and many of them are for sleeping as well.
And some of them are for just sitting down out of the sun, bothering nobody.
And I invite you to come down and talk to some real people on Pacific Avenue.
I'm right here, and other people are trying to say things to you.
I'm sorry, folks. I apologize. I don't know your names. I'd be happy to have a cup of coffee sometime, and we'll all pay for our own.
Talk to me in front of the Dharma blanket sometime.
Have you been donating money to the homeless situation in your own way, in some fashion, to anywhere close to the amount of money that I, for example,
I don't know how much money do you give a month to the homeless service center?
I give $700 a year and have done so for
decades. I've done that, yeah, sure. I do it to individuals, though. I don't do it to a bureaucratic institution that let a 65-year-old woman die on the streets in front of their homeless service center. And the same man, Marcos Banuelos, you're praising so well, is culpable for holding that woman's property in spite of her repeated attempts to get it back, according to her own testimony. So I'm not so happy with the people that you are so happy with. I've had bad experiences where you've had good experiences, so we have different experiences.
Well, but how much money have you given in the last year?
Well, I would say per week I probably give away about $10 or $15 a week.
All right, so you've given then over the course of, do the math. I guess you've given a thousand or two,
something like that. You know,
I applaud you for that.
Well, I don't give out the money. I mean, usually I give it out like food. I mean, I'm pretty tight with my money, Dale. Somebody comes up to me, I'm worried they're going to spend it on booze. I'm worried they're going to spend it on drugs. I'm a pretty tight-fisted character. You know, I mean,
I have a question for you, sir.
Call it, Dale.
Okay, Dale.
This is Swami talking, by the way.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
How much of your time have you given dealing directly with the homeless people, dealing directly with the individual issues that they are facing, and helping the individual people find ways to circumvent their problems?
Well, I guess if your question is designed to make the guy that's calling on the phone that is the counter weight to your opinion, just then I if your question is designed to make me look at a pretty.
You're breaking up, Dale. Sorry, man. You're breaking up. You're breaking up. It's hard to hear you. I think you're running out of range.
I've been giving money.
There you go. No, you're still breaking up. It's hard to hear you. It sounds like you're coming through a kind of a scatter gun there. Can we carry on this conversation next time, perhaps? Hello? Okay. So phone lines are open. And we got another phone call. Let's see what's cooking here. Hi, you're on Free Radio with me and a bunch of other people. Hi.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Matt Marks calling.
Hey,
oh,
Matt.
Hey, Matt. You're one of them homeless ne'er-do-well sympathizer com-simps, right?
I mean, I guess so.
Hey, thanks for coming down and helping me last week.
No problem, man.
And I also want to thank Dale for dealing with a hostile crowd here.
Oh, man, how are you guys letting Dale keep on going on there for so long?
Well, Dale had some strong opinions that a lot of people in the community share. I think they
we all wanted to say something to Dale.
We need to talk about that, and Dale is willing to talk. I'm willing to respond. I think we should have that conversation. But what do you got to say, Matt?
I mean, I just have to say initially that, I mean, his applauding you on your free speech, I mean, you don't have an obligation to allow him to talk. I mean, that's hate speech, what he's saying. I mean, him characterizing bums, quote-unquote, in that way is really no different than, you know, bigotry speech that went on, that still goes on in this country, you know, calling black people niggers, calling, you know, really any group of people a stereotypical, you know, calling them by a stereotype, calling them by a racial slur, whatever it is. I mean, really, it's the same thing, and I think there's a difference between hate speech and free speech. And second of all, I mean, he's pissed off about... I mean, I can't believe you guys let him go on for so long. But he's pissed off about people asking him for money. And, you know, it's not always these people don't want to be in that situation any more than he wants to be in that situation. And it's not their fault at oftentimes. And I'm not talking about the whole, like, oh, you know, blah, 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 lost your job thing, which is a very real thing. But, I mean, public space for living on your own without needing money has been, you know, completely taken away. There are merchants taking up space on Pacific Avenue that are begging for your money in socially acceptable ways that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't mind having a huge shopping center being plopped down in the middle of a bunch of trees. He has no problem with that, but he has a problem with a single human being coming up and asking him in what he characterizes as an aggressive way that he admitted that he didn't feel threatened, you know, for a dollar. And, I mean, all of his stuff, oh, but I didn't feel threatened, but my 10 or 13-year-old daughters, I mean, that's complete bullshit. The fact that he's threatened by another way of life or another way of dressing or another way of existing is entirely his problem.
You know, we shouldn't be disingenuous. I mean, you know, if you got somebody who comes up to you and is rude to you and demanding and money, I mean, I'm not a saint. Swami here may be a saint, but I'm not a saint. You know, and I don't, you know, people treat me in a, you know, even if they're needy, I don't give a damn. I've got my own boundaries, and I'm, you know, I get cranky pretty fast, and I can appreciate how he feels. The problem is I draw different conclusions from the same facts, and maybe that's because of my you know, determined adherence to certain principles about human rights, which are sort of like holy writ to me, which he may think is, you know, he's on the other hand, he sounds like he's very liberal on bourgeois free speech issues. It's okay, you know, and not even bourgeois free speech. We're a bunch of ragamuffins here at Free Radio in some respects. So he's saying free speech for everybody, but not, you know, and this is where a lot of liberals draw the line, where they become fascists in my mind, you know, effective fascists. When it comes to, you know, like you saw before the Scotts Valley City Council, Matt, when you spoke so eloquently, how's the Cabrillo Homeless Freedom Front, or whatever the hell you're calling it these days, coming along?
Actually, the most recent proposed name of the group is Food, Fun, and Civil Rights for All, with exclamation points.
And how many people have joined this gang of merrymakers?
Well, so far, it's seven of us now.
Wow, that's
today.
Great. And when is the first takeover of public, of unused space for those without shelter, the unhoused?
Well, we have a couple different things planned originally. I don't know if they fall exactly under that category. You know, I have to say, I just recently found out today that Councilmember Coonerty actually is a part-time teacher at Cabrillo. So,
oh my!
Our first course of action has changed to be an awareness campaign to all those enrolled in his class before the drop deadline.
Good for you, Matt.
And maybe some more direct action with writing in chalk on his boards before he gets there. You know, we'll see how crazy we want to get. But I was absolutely thrilled today to find out. I saw Ryan Coonerty on the mailbox, and I did a little research, and he teaches there. So he will no longer have a safe haven in my backyard, which is one thing I'm proud.
But I think he should be held accountable not so much for his opinions, which are his own affair, but for his public actions as a vice mayor and a city councilman. I mean,
Yes, I agree. I'm not...
Institutionalizing hate speech. It's not hate speech. I mean, when Dale expresses his views, I don't regard it as hate speech. I regard it as...
Can I say something
about
that?
I mean, there's I would say there's no difference except for...
I disagree with you in the sense that, I mean, I think those are his firmly felt opinions, and he's not trying to, you know, rouse us to... like maybe he is to hate a group. It's not going to work, you know, because we think otherwise. But a lot of people feel that way. I mean... But, with Coonerty, it's different. Coonerty is implementing laws that are stealing people's civil rights and turning people into essentially disposable trash. At least, I mean, that's an exaggeration, but he's treating people as though they don't have the right to do what they ought. Well, he's removing rights that people have traditionally had, and he's sanctioning that kind of stuff. The 15-minute, and get lost in the parking garage unless you happen to have if you have a vehicle there, you can stay for 15 minutes. If you don't, you can't. So how can people get involved out of Cabrillo? I'm sorry to be rushing you, man. We've got about 12 minutes left in the show.
No problem. People can be involved by paying attention to all the boards. Flyers are going to be put up on all the major ones. And they can also, I mean, if anybody's listening and gives a, feel free to write down my name, Matt Marks, and call me at 425-0143.
425-0143. Matt Marks, name of your group is?
Food, Fun, and Civil Rights for All. Our main purpose is, all three of those things. Food. We're going to be doing not so much fundraisers, but hopefully sort of action raisers where people can volunteer time, they can volunteer vegetables that they've grown themselves or have bought. They can also volunteer money. We'd prefer the time and the food and the effort in coming down and hanging out with us. And then fun, we're definitely here to restore, to take away some of the laws. We're going to be doing some hacky sack protests in front of city council and civil rights. The main thing, we're going to be working, hopefully, with you a lot. And we're going to be having some conferences at Cabrillo.
Okay, that's Food, Fun, and Civil Rights for All, Matt. Marks, 425-0143.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt, and call after the show. We'll talk some more and plan some more mischief.
Cool. Don't take up too much more time with all that hate speech.
Dale's no longer with us. He went out of range.
Killing me. Well, when he calls back.
All right. Well, I'll tell him we'll have to sit down and chat over coffee or spat over coffee.
Right. Or have him come to the blanket.
He can come to the blanket. Yeah. Dale, if you want, you can come to Swami's Blanket outside the Coffee Roasting Company, hopefully when it's not raining. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
Phone lines are open, 427-3772. This is the last 10 minutes of Bathrop's Pier's Broadside Civil Rights for the Poor. Wouldn't it be nice? In the studio with me, it's Swami Valerie of the guitar, and of course another guitarist actually, and a food server, Tenderfoot Tim Rumford, and I'm Robert Norse. This is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides. We're going to be coming back on Sunday, and there's a meeting of the Human Rights Organization on Saturday. They meet every Saturday, 1:45, at 115 Coral Street. That's the homeless service center you heard earlier caller Dale praising and telling you to give your money to the homeless service center, not to those bums on the street, as he puts it. I would say give your if you want the money to come to go to the homeless people, give it to the homeless people. Of course, make sure you know what they're going to do with it. If you can, if you're worried it's not going to go to a proper place, whip out a hamburger or, a veggie burger or whatever you got there, or a jar of peanut butter. That's what I do occasionally. At 1:45 at the Homeless Service Center is the Human Rights Organization. You can also Google for Santa Cruz Human Rights Organization, find out some more about them. You can Google for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, find out more about that. I also take messages for SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression. Hence, if anybody wants to follow this lame ribbon program that I'm hearing about, which may not be so lame, actually. I'm glad, actually, somebody's doing something.
We can give a contact number also.
Okay, go ahead, Val.
They can leave messages at 457-9754. Extension 3760, that's 24/7 voicemail, so call
anytime. 457-9754, extension 3760 for the ribboneers. I don't know what to call you guys.
Well, we do a lot of different things, so anything we've mentioned, anything we're involved in, that's a contact number, music, food, spirituality, networking, all kinds of things.
Right. Now, I guess all the things I was going to do, I haven't got any time to do, but we did some things today, I guess. We babbled around a bit. Interesting discussion about homelessness and medical marijuana use. You want to go to the Sentinel Forum. Sentinel Forums have Craig Canada having a roundtable fight with all the other people who are actually people who also try to help him. They kick down money for him, but he continues to fight on in terms of pointing out that a lot of his problems stem from the fact that he's candid about his medical marijuana use, and no services around let him, support services for a shelter let him come in or get housing. It's not really shelter he's looking for, but it's housing, which I think is really a key issue here. A lot of interesting things happened in Fresno, and I'm going to be getting more into that this Sunday when I come back at 8:30 also, I actually maybe even a little earlier than 8:30. I come back usually at 9:30, but I'm coming back earlier on Thomas Levitt's show. We're going to be listening to more of the SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now forum from 1991 for all you ancient history buffs. Same problems, some righteous concerns. We have a caller. I'm going to put this caller on briefly. Hi, you're on Free Radio with us. How you doing there, caller?
Hi, Robert.
Yes.
Forgive me for calling in again. I just didn't like being called a bigot on the air. This is Dale with a better hard line.
Well, you did use the word bum.
Well, remember, those of us who hear the word bum, we think bigot. So that's our opinion. But
bum stands for being of unlimited magic.
Oh, okay.
Right. Exactly.
Go ahead, Dale.
Folks, bums is not a bigoted phrase.
It is when you say that all homeless people are bums.
What?
When you say that all homeless people are bums, I consider that big. That is exactly what you said.
I didn't say that.
Well, maybe that was the impression you gave.
Okay, fine. Then you misunderstood my impression.
And, okay. I mean, well, Dale, we haven't got much time.
I just tried to call Matt, by the way, but I had to get back into my house because I had dropped my daughter off, as I mentioned, at an event downtown, and I certainly would like to have the freedom to continue to do that. I would like to have the freedom to continue to believe that my daughter is safe in downtown Santa Cruz.
Have any children been attacked downtown by homeless people that you know of?
My daughter has been approached several times by aggressive panhandling, and I don't like it.
I hear you.
All right?
I hear
you. So that's what and the idea that you have a license on the what is your – just we only have a couple minutes here. So you're saying I should not use social agencies. I should simply just give money directly to folks on the street, and I should encourage thousands more people to come to downtown Santa Cruz to ask me for money. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, what I'm saying is that you should support the right of all people to use public spaces, both your daughter and poor people who may have no money and may have a sign that says, please give money if you have it, or we'll work for food. You should not criminalize those people for doing that. It's appropriate that there be behavioral standards as to how people treat each other. I've got
Correct.
No problem with
agreement.
That. Yeah, well, then we are in agreement.
Right. So am I a bigot? I mean, I'm thinking to myself here, gosh, because I use the colloquialism bums, and that's what they are, and I'm not a racist in any way whatsoever.
Let me just
say what a bum is to me. A bum is somebody that says to me, give me a buck, mister.
Well, in order for me to determine if you're a bigot, I'd be happy to put you through the bigot test.
I would be happy to ask you, Robert.
Yeah, we probably have. Wait a minute. Slow down, Dale. You're welcome to meet me downtown. We can walk around. I can show you. I mean, it depends. If you call every homeless person who's a panhandler a bum, and if that's your view of what...
If they are panhandling, they are bums.
Okay, well, then you see, I think, I mean, it's true that they're bumming change. I'll grant you that.
I rest my case.
But I don't think that describes the whole person. And that's why the word bum is a bigoted word.
I do not think folks should have the need to do that. And I think that a lot of folks...
Oh, I agree.
That's exactly what we are doing.
We're trying to empower.
Yeah, I think actually we all agree on that one, Dale. The problem is that's not likely to happen this side of heaven. And what we have to do in the meantime is make sure that people's rights are protected, both the rights of your child, the rights of you, and the rights of the people downtown who are poor and who are being driven away and harassed by the police. And who I think you it sounds like you're supporting that kind of harassment.
I completely and utterly support the actions of the police to stop aggressive panhandling and illegal activity downtown.
Even if that illegal activity is sleeping.
If it's in the wrong place, absolutely.
It's all over. There's no place. There's no right to sleep anywhere in Santa Cruz. Do you know that? If you don't, you should. Familiarize yourself with the law, because it's true. I'm not lying to you.
I'd be happy to.
You can sleep in the daytime, but not with a blanket or lying down in certain areas.
Well, we haven't got time for this, folks. Dale, I've got to go.
How many of you have businesses on Pacific Avenue?
Dale, can we take this up later? Because I haven't got any time. We can talk. If you want to call again on Sunday, we can talk some more.
Happy to have a cup of coffee with you. And by the way, I have to go back to my. What did the gentleman from Matt say? Something that I'm being described as almost a fascist and a bigot because.
Remember, I'm
in the solar industry, folks. I give money to the poor. I march in civil rights marches. I just don't like bums aggressively panhandling my daughter or me.
Right, but you also don't seem to mind police arresting people who sleep or sit too near a building, are perhaps biking the wrong way on Pacific. You don't mind a police crackdown downtown.
No, biking the wrong way on Pacific, I've done that.
Well, you better watch your
that's
step.
Part
don't
of the crackdown.
Just go ahead and come downtown and ride the wrong way on a street a few times.
Actually,
I guarantee you will get a ticket.
Actually,
well, you know what I did? I asked the cop what's the rule.
We gotta go.
He told me, and now I'm following them.
Well, you know, let's pick up the conversation again on Sunday if you'd like, or Swami will be around tomorrow, perhaps, on his blanket in front of the coffee roasting company.
You can call me.
Absolutely.
You can call me on.
You know, it's so great. By the way, I did a radio news talk show for 3.5 years from the Progressive Middle in Fresno,
uh-huh.
And I found it great. You finally jerked my chain, folks.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Did to me what I did to them.
All right.
Well done, folks.
All right. Hey, Dale. Well, listen, thank you very much, and get back to me if you want off air at 423 Huff. I got to go.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. And that's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. The broadsides of Uncle Dennis are going to be breaking through the door very shortly, and we are going to have to be out of here, or he will growl at us in no uncertain manner. So I want to thank all of you for listening, and I thank Dale for calling in, thank Matt for calling in, thank Valerie for calling in, and thank my guests here for guesting, and
you're welcome.
Thank myself for hosting. Thank you very much.
God bless
you. Thank you, Robert, for hosting.
Come on back
on
Sunday, 9:30. You'll get your hug.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
Baby, you know it's true. I'm a puppet just for you. All the
these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
That whenever any form destructive of the evening, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government. Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most
always lovely Fifth Dimension right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. It's a few minutes past the 8 o'clock hour, a little bit of a rain delay coming into your Thursday evening. Time to come in to From the Cream to the Dregs. I'm your guest host DJ, the designated DJ for the evening. My name's Matt. Uncle Dennis is out for the night and next week as well. Who knows what we may have next week. Party full of people down in here. But we will be bringing you the best in wondrous 70s music tonight. We've got the beer of the evening. We might even bring you a little news. You never know. But right now, let's start it in earnest Let's kick out the jams.
And right now, it's time to kick out the jams, motherfucker!
Out the jams, motherfucker. There we go, a little bit of MC5 recorded live. Check that shit out. Right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. Streaming live at freakradio.org. We are quite proud to be back in proper functioning order, whatever that might fucking be. Oh, anyway, as this is a show that dedicates itself largely to the classic guitar sounds of the 60s and 70s. Let's get right into that, going into, oh, you know, sort of the biggest group of all, good old Led Zeppelin. But I'm trying to bring you a few things from Led Zeppelin that you might not have heard before. Not because you haven't heard the song before, but a particular recording. Got a few variations on the theme here. This first one, I'm sure you've heard the song before, good old Can't Quit You. But this is the earliest known soundboard recording of Led Zeppelin. This is from January 1969, recorded right in San Francisco. So it's not the greatest recording ever, but gives you an idea of Zeppelin in January 69. Let's check this out. Let's check this out with the sound turned up. It's time to get the beer of the week going.
Has anybody got a